This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.
Okay, class, that's the end of another week. Any questions?
I do have some questions, some ponderables to think about across the weekend. If you have any answers, feel free to give us a call on 13 12 16 or hit us up on our Facebook page, Hit South Queensland. Gab, I'm going to throw these questions out to you. You religiously poo-poo a lot of my questions.
I do not poo-poo them. I try to answer them. If you're going to ask me a question, I will try to give you an answer. That's how I roll. You know that's how I roll. So that's just how it is.
I'm not necessarily asking you a question. What I'm doing is asking
you're
a question.
Asking a
you
question.
Just happen to be in the room.
Oh.
All right.
Still asking questions.
Here's my first question. Why, as a society, do we need to have the warning, may contain traces of nuts, on a bag of nuts?
Yeah, nah, couldn't answer that one for you because it's just dumb. It's ridiculous.
It's a bag chockers with nuts.
If you don't know that a peanut contains peanuts,
yeah,
you're an idiot.
Says more about you than anything
totally.
Else.
Totally.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk superheroes. What did Batman do with all the tradies he used to build the Batcave? Because it's a secret location.
Yeah.
It's a secret thing. Where did they go? Because he wouldn't have built it by himself. That thing is huge.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to keep the secret.
No. Nah.
Even if they signed a non-disclosure statement, we know they don't always work.
No, that's right. It would have been all over Instagram. It would have been all over Facebook. Hey, look at me.
Well, it was well before social media.
Look where I'm working right now. Hey, Batcave.
Maybe they don't have their tongues anymore. That's what they used to do back in medieval days.
They could draw a picture. They could point to where the Batcave is.
Good point.
Does killing a spider make the spider gene pool sneakier and more deadly?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Because you're just killing the stragglers that are out there going, hey, look at me.
So evolution would mean that
the ones you don't see.
Yeah, the ones you don't see, the ones that are hiding really well are the ones that are breeding and passing on those abilities.
Yes, that's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's not a good thing.
One last question. Every time we send something into space, does Earth get a little lighter?
Earth doesn't weigh anything.
Pardon?
Like when it comes to space and stuff, you can't put it on some scales and see if it's, you know, a couple of hundred kg.
Well, only because there's a couple of hundred kg. There are so many things wrong with that statement. Earth doesn't weigh anything. And yes, it does. It's a couple of hundred kg.
It was a hypothetical.
Yeah, is that what it was? It was pathetical. That's what it was.
Today being National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence, we decided we wanted to chat to someone who is trying to combat these things. And there is an app that's called Stymie that is helping schools and students combat bullying. So we have Rachel Downey from Stymie on with us right now. How are you, Rachel?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday. Can you explain to us a little bit about what Stymie actually is?
Okay, Stymie is an anonymous online reporting tool. What we're doing is providing schools with a proactive and sustainable way for bystanders to be able to make reports about other students who they believe are being bullied and harmed in some way. Because what we know about a lot of bullying behaviours, and that's inclusive of cyberbullying, is that there are always people present. And what we need to do is engage that part of the population to make a change.
And sometimes the person that's being bullied isn't the one that's going to sort of stand up and tell somebody about it. Mm. So the bystander, I guess, has that opportunity to do that and help somebody out.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, one of the reasons that students end up being targets of harm is because they don't have the resilience to stand up for themselves or the resilience to be able to deal with the things that may be being done or said about them. And I guess, you know, the other thing that we're trying to change in Australia is the bystanding culture. You know, you don't dob on your mates, you don't tell on each other. And unfortunately, what it's leading us to is this place where kids feel ashamed about speaking up, even though it might be about something very, very harmful.
And if they do speak up, they could potentially be saving a life, which is a huge thing. So when it comes down to it, though, can you be anonymous when you're reporting this kind of behaviour? Because, you know, there is still that stigma around dobbing.
Absolutely. Obviously, we did a lot of research when we put this together, and something that we did discover is that there's this nuanced nature of, you know, adolescents and young people that we don't understand in terms of their social currency. The social standing is a lot more important to them than it was when we were younger, and it's compounded by the fact that, you know, they're hanging around in groups in the cyber world, virtual villages of hundreds of people, so it's very important that they put, you know, the most popular and their best foot forward that way. But as far as the Stymie website is concerned, it is properly anonymous, and that's why kids are using it. And, you know, Gabby, you mentioned life-saving. Well, absolutely. We get contacted by schools every day citing instances where, you know, students have saved other kids' lives with this. Mm.
So is it purely just in an online world that this works, or can it be... Because when I think of bullying, I'm a bit old school because, you know, I think of the face-to-face contact, whereas more so yes. Now it's in the cyber world. But is it available to use in sort of both circumstances?
Oh, absolutely. So we know that students make notifications about physical harm. They'll make notifications about kids who are making suicide ideations. They'll also make notifications about illegal activity that are happening in their schools as well. And we hear about this every single day from principals.
Well, it seems like this is the missing link when it comes to reporting bullying. So if any schools did want to get involved, did want to implement this so that they can get on top of this side of the situation, how do they get involved with Stymie?
Oh, well, they can just go to stymie.com.au and make an inquiry through our general inquiries page. You know, and I guess the thing is that this is allowing students to be the agents of change. And, you know, the schools are playing catch up every day. Schools are really struggling with this issue because there's only so much they can do.
Yeah, that is very true, especially when it's moving into an online world. I'd just like to point out as well, if anyone is suffering or knows someone that is, Lifeline is also available, 13 11 14. But Rachel, thank you so much for your conversation today.
Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Getting your car keyed is probably one of the most frustrating things in the history of time. Yep. It is such a horrible feeling to get back and see that your car has been damaged. But a lady in Sydney has actually been caught out. A very upmarket Audi was being parked in Sydney and it had been keyed four times on the bonnet.
Yep.
So the owner, his name was Evan, decided, you know what, I'm going to put a dash cam in. I've only had this car for 3 months. It's been keyed four times. I need to know what's going on.
Yep.
So he started recording while he wasn't in the car, and he caught a lady keying his car twice on two separate incidences.
Wow.
And she literally just walked past, didn't even look at the car, but very, very brazenly and very obviously put a hand out to key it. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't like her bag brushed the car on the way past.
Yeah.
She full on purposefully keyed the bonnet of the car on her way past.
Mm.
And he has put the footage up on his social media. It's gone pretty viral. And he's like, I don't even know this woman.
Yeah.
What makes a person think that they can do that, or what makes them want to do that?
Yeah,
like,
I don't get it.
Obviously, it's a jealousy thing. Well, not obviously, but I think it's probably a jealousy thing, seeing this upmarket, schwanky car on the side of the road and getting that green-eyed monster effect.
But you know what?
But it's just not fair.
It's not fair, and you don't know the story behind the car, you know, or anything like that. My parents had one of their cars keyed, and they worked hard for pretty much all of their lives. They scrimped and saved and basically said, okay, let's, you know, the kids are out of the house now. We finally
got
some money.
Out.
Let's splash out and get ourselves the first new car that we've ever had. Mm. And then within a couple of weeks, it got keyed.
It's
and my mum
was just devastated,
devastated.
Yeah. I've had my car keyed twice. My old car. It was a pretty bad luck car, I'm not going to lie. But the first time, it was just in a public car park and someone decided to draw some male genitalia by keying it in to the petrol door.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I didn't notice for 3 days because who looks at the petrol door? And I went to get petrol 3 days later and I was like,
what? There's a
what is that? Yeah. Okay. And I was horrified.
Yeah.
And then, and it cost me quite a lot of money to get that fixed. And I had to get it fixed ASAP because I wasn't driving around with that on my car.
Nah.
And then the second time I was parked at like a supermarket car park and someone had just walked past, obviously with a key in their hand, and did a squiggly line across three panels. which, again, so expensive to fix.
It's such a dog act.
It is, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's just unfair. It's people who don't know me. They have no idea whose car it is. They just do it because they think it's funny, and it's not. But we want to know, 13, 12, 16, have you had your car keyed in the past?
Yeah, give us a call. Charlie's on the line. It's happened to you?
Yes, it did. While I was at work, I left my car in the car park and the whole boot was keyed.
The whole thing? What, they just keep going?
Scribbled away.
Dragged it across the whole boot of it. Yeah, really deep too.
Oh, that's horrible. Was there any security footage or anything you could have drawn on?
No, like they came in, the police came into it, like, you know, dusted it for fingerprints and stuff like that, but they didn't have any cameras, and it was in one of the ones downtown that didn't have cameras. So, unfortunately, they weren't caught.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, it sucks. I guess it was just a random act from this person. It's not like...
I don't know. My car was the only car in the car park that was actually touched, so I'm not entirely sure.
It does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Accusations.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, it really does. I have my suspicions, but it's not nice anyway.
No.
My car's my money.
No, yeah, that's right. Well, thank you very much for the call.
No worries, guys.
Now we've got Sam on the line. Sam, what's your story?
Yeah, mate, in 2010, I bought a brand new car. Drove it straight out of the dealership, went to shopping centre in Toowoomba, come out about 15 minutes later, and here's a bloke walking past with a can, scratched all the front of it. Hadn't even done 15 kilometres.
So did you catch the one that did it?
Yeah, mate, I've seen him doing it. It's terrible, isn't it? You go and spend $50,000 on a brand new car and someone walks past and just decides, oh, a big scratch right up the front of it.
I just don't get it. It's just such a low, low act. And do you think it was jealousy or something like that, or was he keying other cars in the car park as well?
I didn't see him do it to anyone else's, but I seen him do it to mine, and that was enough.
Today is a very important day. It's the National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence. And we have Toby Dagg, the Cyberbullying Complaints Manager for the Government's Office of the eSafety Commissioner, on the line with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Now, when it comes to cyberbullying, it seems like it's on the increase. Is that correct?
Well, we know from research that about 1 in 5 Australian children between the ages of 8 to 17 have experienced cyberbullying. Girls are cyberbullied more often than boys, but boys are starting to pick up in those numbers. Look, we've seen the numbers remain reasonably static, but overall we've got to say that we probably don't fully know the total scope of cyberbullying as it affects young people.
And when it comes down to it, one cyberbullying event is too many. So how can we prevent things like this from happening?
You can break it down into a couple of levels. As parents, generally speaking, if you're handing a child a device, you need to make sure that they're using it responsibly. And one of the most important things there is understanding how the technology works, how our young people are using technology, because then you can have really informed conversations with your children about the risks and the benefits. But where it comes to cyberbullying in particular, listening to our children and young people about their experiences online is really key, and responding calmly, understanding what options are available to you and to them to seek further assistance, and to encourage them to develop critical reasoning skills and resilience, really important parts of that as well.
I've got two young boys. They are 6 and 4, and they've got iPads, and they use them, you know, for playing Minecraft and all that kind of stuff, so they're not online at this point in time. But at what point should we be having conversations with them about this kind of stuff?
I think as early as possible. And a lot depends on the particular characteristics of the kids as well. Some kids are more mature and more resilient than others. Some are ready to engage with these concepts a little earlier than others. I think one of the most important things that we can do is pay attention to how apps and technologies are rated in the App Store and the Google Play Store, for example, because they can give some really good guidance to parents in terms of what they can expect the content to involve, the sorts of risks that might attach to use of the device or to the app or technology. We need to be aware of when an app provides, for example, in-app chat functions that would allow our young users to communicate with others, and really be aware that as soon as you connect your device to the internet, you're exposing your child to a whole world of opportunities, but also a whole world of risk.
If parents are worried about what is going on, what's the next step?
Well, we have some terrific resources on esafety.gov.au. We have a cyberbullying complaint scheme as well. which is the only complaint scheme of its kind in the world. And to date, since July 2015, when the office opened, we've helped over 720 young people and families have harmful material removed from social media services. So our cyberbullying complaints process is accessible via esafety.gov.au. The other thing, too, is to remember that there is help available through organisations like Kids Helpline. Mm-hmm. And Kids Helpline is one of the most important partners that we have in this area. They provide great ongoing support and really knowledgeable support to children and young people in respect of cyberbullying. And there are other great organisations working in this area as well, like Reach Out.
Well, Toby, thank you very much for your time this morning. We really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks both.
Turns out more and more employers are actually advertising jobs and requesting that only non-smokers apply.
Can you do that?
This is becoming more and more of a thing. So if you actually search Australian job sites and you type in non-smoker, more than 100 jobs will pop up specifying you can only be a non-smoker to apply. And even if they don't specify it in the job ad, you could still be overlooked in the process if you do admit that you're a smoker.
Wow.
And people are like, oh, what the? Like, isn't that discrimination? And it's actually not, because anti-discrimination laws in Australia prevent discrimination based on race, age, sex, disability, sexual preference, marital status, and family and carer situations.
Right.
Nothing about smoking.
Yeah.
So it's actually totally legal for a company to request that only non-smokers apply.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I guess I get it from the employer's perspective, because smokers do go out. And, you know, some smokers do take regular breaks to go and feed their habit outside. And it does affect productivity in the office.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can kind of understand the thinking behind it, but I just didn't even think it was a thing. No, I did not know that they could do that.
No, I didn't either. So that's something definitely something new.
Definitely something to think about. Mm. If you are looking at either developing your career.
Yeah, either quit smoking or lie.
But if you do lie, you will not be able to take regular breaks during the day.
Just call a day and I'm going for a quick fresh air break. I don't know.
I'm going to the toilet again. What? I had bowel issues. Yeah. I didn't need to disclose that in the application.
That's right. Today is the National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence, and there's a couple of ways that you can seek help. Of course, there's Kids Helpline. There's also a parent line service that you can access as well. And we are lucky enough to have Leo, who is one of the Counselling Centre Supervisors, join us right now. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to be chatting with you today.
We're looking at, I guess, some tips, some strategies, if you will, on what to use if you think maybe your kids are being bullied in some way. Can you help out?
Yes. Yeah, I think one of the first points is to for parents to look out for those warning signs that might suggest that something is going on for their kids. And I guess, every young person is different and, parents have their relationships. But, being on the lookout for things around, the mood, swings, withdrawing from friends and schoolwork can be indicators that there might be something wrong. And at that point, that when you do notice that that something might not be quite right with one of your kids, is to start with a conversation with them. And we are always encouraging making sure parents have those ongoing open relationships.
Just when it comes to that communication, I would assume you can't just outwardly say, hey, are you being bullied at school? What's the first question you should be asking?
You're exactly right. Kids can often be a little embarrassed or shy or secretive about what's going on. But I think just checking in, are things going okay? How's school going for them? How are they getting along? How are they feeling about themselves? Checking in about their self-esteem, because that's going to give you an indication whether things are okay or there might be something else going on behind it. I think also to really for parents to let their kids know that that they can approach them with anything. And for parents, when they do hear that something might be might not be right, or their child might be being bullied, is to remain calm themselves, not to either overreact or to minimise what's going on, so that when the child does feel confident enough to share what's going on, that they are heard and they are believed, and that they can just open up about that with their parents.
That's very important, and the whole trust thing is very important between parents and kids as well in these scenarios. But would you ever encourage parents to check or keep tabs on their children's devices when it comes to cyberbullying? Is that something that would would be encouraged or discouraged?
Look, I certainly think that decisions for each individual parent as well. But I think then we're moving from that, rather than scrutinising the specific details of what's going on their social media pages, you know, setting up an environment of openness, I guess house rules around use of the internet, not letting them have too much screen time late at night, phones out of the bedroom, things like that can be options that parents might want to explore and see what's right for them and their kids. The information that we're getting through Parentline and certainly Kids Helpline is that traditional school bullying that is still the predominant one. So for parents to engage with schools, look through those school bullying policies and to take those steps within a calm way so that there's no overreactions or laying of blame unnecessarily.
Keep a calm head, I think, is the way to go. Now,
that's right.
If anybody wants any more information, where can they get it from you guys?
Parentline is a service available for all parents in Queensland. They can call 1300 301 300, and the counsellors are here either to provide some counselling support or just information. And certainly for our kids, the Kids Helpline is available 24 hours a day over the telephone on 1-800-55-1800. But also we have our web chat counselling, which a lot of young people are finding very popular, and that's through the Kids Helpline website.
Leo, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Really good to be speaking with you.
This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.